Well, good morning once again. And it is a good morning. It is a beautiful, beautiful sunny day, which I really enjoy. Hopefully you do too. And you're sacrificing some of that great, beautiful day just to be here today with each other. And so I really am grateful for that, because I'm sure I could think of some other things I could be doing as well. Are you happy you're here? Hopefully. You know, it is a family reunion, you know, weekly family reunion. I know most people don't have family reunions every week, but it is that, and it is very nice, and that's one of the things I know we've shared just before. One of the things I hear so much about this church is what a great family feel it is, and I appreciate that, and I give you guys all the credit. Because indeed, we are. You have family members all over the world you probably don't know about. It was interesting. I used to travel around a little bit. I was over in the Orient and in China, and I would connect sometimes with Christians in China, and I would just tell them, hey, we're brothers or sisters, brothers and sisters, even though you live on the other side of the world, and even though we don't even speak the same language, we are brothers and sisters because we are born again. And that is what we're going to be talking about. I have really good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first? I'll give you the bad news. You're in big trouble if you're not born again. Now, the good news is you're in a really great shape if you are. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to be reading actually the same passage that I read last week, because I wanted to get to the first part of it, which was, if indeed it says, which it does, we'll go there right now, you must be born again, you must be born again. That's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus, who I am sure is certain that he is one of God's chosen people. That's what they were calling the Jewish nation at that time, the chosen people. And here was Nicodemus. Not only was he one of the chosen people as far as they were concerned, he was a leader of the chosen people, those that were Jews. And so I'm pretty sure that he felt like, I am the chosen of God, and I am absolutely in God's kingdom. He's the king, and we're, you know, I'm up there. Maybe I'm a bishop or something like that, or a knight. But at least I'm in the kingdom. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. He probably lived his entire life trying to live up to that particular position based on what God told us in Scripture. You cannot earn this, folks. This is what we're going to be talking about, that. And we will be talking about how that the metaphor of new birth gives us an understanding of how this whole process happened. How did we come back to be in relationship with God? Because that's what it's about. And I just don't know. I mean, they had some relationships, but when Nicodemus came, we're going to be reading it, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he was asking him questions, Jesus totally turned the conversation around and said, you got to be born again, buddy, or else. Let's read it. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3, or you can just read it on the screen like I'm going to do. I don't have to turn anything. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So this man came to Jesus by night, which we talked about before. He did it because I think he just didn't want to be seen doing it. Because he wasn't sure, because the Jew, and especially the Pharisees and the rulers of the Pharisees, were not happy with this Jesus guy. He was saying some things that he was like, I am of God and I am the Messiah. No, the Messiah is not going to look anything like you, dude, or act like you. And so he goes by night and he said to him, Rabbi, even though he did call him a rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And then Jesus answered him, yes, I am from God, and yes, I can do some really cool stuff. No, he didn't say that. He said this, truly, truly, I wonder why they say that. There must be, I could look all that up, but I didn't, to see what the whole truly, truly thing is. Have you read it before in Scripture, truly, truly? They say it a lot. Truly, truly, Jesus says as he answers him, I say to you. So I'm going to tell you something, truly, truly. Unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You think that was probably echoing through Nicodemus's head? What in the world are you talking about? That is not what I asked you. Unless I'm born again, and we'll talk about this, what the words mean. Unless I'm born again, I can't see the kingdom of God. Well, I can go outside and walk over to the temple. It's right there. What do you mean I can't see it? What are you talking about? And I got to be born again? What in the world? How can a man be born again when I'm old? How can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I don't even want to think about that. My mother's here, and I'm sure she doesn't want that. But is that what Jesus was trying to say? No, he wasn't. He says, truly, truly, I say to you again, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of flesh, like us, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't marvel when I say to you, you must be born again. I'm not talking about rebirth from a human sense. And then he gives him this to think about. Man, this is like, wow. Could you be a little more plain, Jesus? Where the wind blows where it wishes. Nicodemus is like, dude, this makes no sense. Where it's, and when you hear, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. Is that true? Sure. I mean, you can kind of, depending on the direction, but it may move, right? I mean, it's going to blow this way and go that way. But so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit towards the end. But last week, we talked about this. How important is it? How important is it? What exactly is at stake here? And we talked about that last time. What is it that's at stake? We went through and we looked at the passage verse by verse and kind of trying to decide, what is this actually saying? And it was saying, Jesus is saying, look, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. Okay, I understood the kingdom of God. We talked about that last time. It is actually relationship with God. So is he probably, Nicodemus, is he probably like, well, of course I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm a Jew and I have this position and it's pretty high. It's a pretty high position. I think he's in the Sanhedrin. And then he's, well, I don't understand. Of course I'm in the kingdom of God. And I go to the temple and people probably get out of my way because I'm so high up just to make sure I get in when I... Of course I'm in the kingdom of God, and Jesus is saying, dude, you just don't get it. There's something else that has to happen. Besides you just following the rules or trying to earn your way up the ladder, something else has to happen, and guess what? You can't do it. You can't do it. At least you can't do it on your own. Because what's born and born again has to be done by my Spirit. I'm not sure they even knew. Maybe they did. I don't know. You know, they knew God the Father, and maybe they knew about a Holy Spirit and the Trinity. They were probably a little, I don't even think I even really know what that means, because they were expecting a Messiah, but they were not expecting a Messiah who was actually God. They were expecting a man who was going to be gifted by God to become the Messiah and then bring the nation of Israel back into its prominence and save everybody from being killed by the Romans. So I'm not sure they understood that Jesus actually was God, or that what the Trinity was. And maybe they knew what the Spirit, that there was some sort of spiritual thing going on. But when Jesus tells him, I'm guessing, and it doesn't really say, but I'm guessing he's totally, I just do not know what in the world you're talking about. Yeah, the wind blows where it wants. I don't get to determine it, and I hear it, but I don't really know where it's coming from or where it's going. Well, what in the world does that have to do with you being a man of God? So It does mean that. Because Jesus had a very, very powerful message for Nicodemus and for you and for me and for the rest of the world. And that is the only way that you can be back into relationship with God is to be born again. Now, I'm telling you that because I want you to understand how important this issue is. Last week, we talked about how important it was because if you are not born again, what does that mean? It means you don't have a relationship with God, which I have constantly telling you, and I could tell you again, there is no greater thing that a human being can experience in this world better than being born again. If I could ask you to raise your hand or stand up, but I'm not going to. If you believe you've been born again, nothing else, very little else. I mean, because there are some things that God wants us to do after we've been born again, but there's very little else in this world that could come anywhere close to the importance of that. So if that's something that's already happened in your life, you can just say, man, this is the best thing ever. There's a lot of other things I'd like to do. There's a lot of other places I'd like to see. There's a lot of things I'd like to accomplish, but I've already hit number one. And hopefully, as Josh is, you know, singing the songs about being thankful, hopefully that's what it's generating in your mind and in your heart, that I've been born again. We're going to talk about how and when, and we're going to talk about some things here real quick. Four questions. Okay. But I want you to know this is the pinnacle. This is the pinnacle, and it's so easy to think, yeah, but all these other things are really hard, and life is so difficult, and I just can't find joy here and satisfaction, and I'm just kind of bummed out. But then I have to think, Jesus, I'm born again, and I know where I'm going. Oh, I think about that, I had been told that Jenny was probably close, you know, that it would be soon. And then I didn't hear about it actually happening until, I think it was Saturday. And just kind of like what Ken was saying, my thoughts were, oh, Jenny, what a wonderful gift. You're home. You're home. And I can't even imagine. I know that's the song. I can only imagine. I can't imagine how wonderful it must be for you to stand there with Jesus. And we ought to all have joy of that because being born again means you know where you're going. Doesn't mean that the journey isn't going to hurt or be hard or be tough or be a little, you know, discouraging. But I know where I'm going because I know I'm born again. So let's talk about it. As I'm looking at this, I'm thinking those were the two main things that I needed to know. What does it mean? What's at stake? Kingdom of God. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I get to have a relationship with God both here and there. I won't be totally, we're going to talk about that. I don't think I'll be totally transformed before I go. I just don't think that's possible because we're all still broken in some aspect of ourselves. Even when we're saved, even when the Holy Spirit's inside of us, even when God is working mostly through trials, thank you very much, God, to transform me to the image of God or the image of his son, and that I'm growing, I know I'm not going to be totally there until. So we'll talk about that in a second. Because some people, when we get to the when, right? How and when? Some people think that the when is based on that final completion. But we'll talk about it here in a sec. So as I'm reading through this and I'm thinking about it, I pretty much understand the kingdom of God and what's at stake if I'm not born again. And yes, okay, I don't get to go to heaven. And yes, I don't get the Holy Spirit here in this life. And yes, I'm going to have to deal with the difficulties of life without help from God. So being born again here is really cool and is certainly really cool in the next life. And that was what the kingdom of God was all about. But now I'm thinking about what about born again? If it is so important like you're telling me, Tim, what does that mean? And so I'm looking at it and these four questions, came to my mind as I was reading through this and trying to think, what if I was going to, which I am preaching this, what would I think? If it is indeed as important as you're saying, Tim, and what it seems like, what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, that this is the most important thing, you must be born again. You must be. So then I'm thinking, okay, if I was going to do that, what kind of questions would I want to know? If it's that important, what would I want to know? Is Scripture telling me? So here's what I'm going to tell you. I have a hard time always following my notes. I'm going to tell you this. What is required is a lot of other Scripture. Okay, do you think this was totally, it's answering. So let me give you the four questions. What does it mean to be born again? How and when does it happen in someone's life? After you're born again, what happens then? And who makes it happen? Who's choosing who? You know, how does it, you know, did you know, the people choose to be born again? Did God choose to be born again? Were both of them involved? Was it just the Holy Spirit? Was it just God? Was it just them? So what do you think? Are these good questions? I think they are. I think they're good questions. If I really want to know the most important thing that could ever happen to a human being, I would have some questions about that because I would want to get it right and I would want to understand it correctly. Because one of the things that Jesus said is, if you are not born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. And what that meant was understand, be aware, perceive, or behold it. So guess what? Without being born again, I won't even understand that there's a truth out there that I don't understand. How am I ever going to be saved if I don't even see that there's a kingdom of God? I ask people all the time, that is my number one question when I want to share the gospel with people, is what do you think happens when we die? And if they don't understand the truth of the answer because they've never even thought about the kingdom of God, that it doesn't really matter whatsoever, that's going to have no relationship to how my eternal destiny is, then I'm thinking, well, yeah, you obviously haven't been born again because it says in there you won't even see or understand or think about or perceive that there is something beyond this life. And the world, unfortunately, people, is full of people in that particular condition. I don't need Jesus for what? Well, you're going to find out. And I feel bad. So how and when does it happen? What happens after you're born again? And who makes it happen? So hopefully you want to know the answers to those things. And if all you were able to read was John 3, 1 through 8, you're not going to get all those answers. So we're going to look at some other verses in the Scripture that help us to understand what these things are and what they mean. Okay, so let's start here. What does it mean to be born again? We talked about what does it mean to be born. This means genaho, which is to procreate, conceive, and bring forth. Okay, born, procreate, conceive, bring forth. Okay, something new. And then again, it's kind of interesting, from the first and to start over, or from above. And it means both of those things. In fact, I think it means both of those things. So there's two different variations of the word. The word's exactly the same, but just like in some English words, you can say a word, it means a couple of different things. So it means to kind of start over, or what did I say? Start over, start from the beginning, from the first, and from above. So I'm going to be born again from above. And so that would kind of say it could be a spiritual thing, right? But it's born, and that's why Nicodemus was having such a hard time, because the word born is basically the same for creating a child, right? So there's a process there. And so let's just say, how can we truly understand when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus? What is he really saying? Would you like to know what it means to be born again? Go ahead and raise your hand. There's a few of you, anyway. All right. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, well, first of all, yeah, if it said in there, if you're not born again, you're never going to see or enter the kingdom of God, so this guy must be born again. He is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So what does it mean to be born again? I'm a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. Okay, born again. I'm a new thing. Now, how many of you, well, this is kind of hard to say. Everybody's, we're going to talk about this too, how it comes up when we get to the next one. How many of you noticed a difference in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ? Okay. Yeah. Hopefully, a lot of other people around you also did. Because it changed the way you look. It changed the way you thought. It changed the way you felt. And it changed the way you behaved. Hopefully. And so people might look at you, and I have seen this, people. I have seen this face to face where a person is a certain way, and then they accept Jesus, and their entire life changes. Now, I've shared with you, I grew up in church, and I accepted Jesus as a 12-year-old, but that was just kind of the final step in something that I've been thinking about since I was old enough to think about anything. Of course, there's a God. Of course, there's a Jesus. Of course, he loves me. Of course, I'm going to go to heaven. But Tim, you actually do have to accept it and get baptized and all that. So, okay, fine. I did that. And so for me, it's hard to see the differences, but what it's really saying is whatever you were when you were born, which I could go back and we could talk about what that was, we're going to look at that a little bit, it wasn't good. We're going to look at it twice, actually, in Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So what did I have before? I had a heart of stone. And he says, I'm going to take that out of you in this born-again process. I'm going to give you a new heart. Now, what does that mean? Did I have a heart transplant? Nope. But he gave me a new heart. And the heart here is not necessarily the thing that's pump, 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 sending blood throughout my body. It is, how are you feeling inside? Who are you? What is important to you? Do you love? Do you want me? I'm going to change the way you feel. I'm going to give you a new heart. Because whether you believe it or not, the heart you had before was stone. And it was mostly based on you. And I'm going to give you another heart that says, you're not as important as the people around you. So you're going to love them, even at a cost to yourself, because I'm going to give you my heart. And it also says in, the last one. Yeah, that one doesn't have it. All right. So what does it mean? We talked about being born and being born again, and then there's this, well, we'll talk about this when it happens. So what does it mean? What it means is, I've been born again. The old has passed away. I am a new creation. I have been given a new heart and a new mind, and we see that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, that was the one I say all the time, that I've got I got to sacrifice myself. Because even though I'm new, I still have this brokenness. And so that's what we're going to be looking at after you're born again, what happens. But let's talk about now. So being born again, was a spiritual thing. It does not mean that I'm going to become, tiny little infant and then start over. It means inside of me, I'm going to get a new heart and a new mind. And God is taking the old away and giving me new. And I'm a new creation. What a wonderful thing. That's what it means to be spiritually born again. So how and when does it happen? This was interesting to read as I'm going through and kind of studying this, because you're going to see a lot of, well, at least some, different versions of how theologians answer this question, these two questions. Because some theologians will say, well, the true born again, when you're completely done, is when Jesus comes back and you're resurrected like Jesus and you're given your new eternal body that has no brokenness left in it. Okay? Some people, theologians, will say, no, when you're born again, when actually you can say, yes, I was born again, is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I got baptized, and now I'm a new creature. Some people would say, you know what? It all happened before the foundation of the world, when God, in his mind, chose you to be one of his. But then, well, didn't that have to happen? Didn't I have to get born first? Well, yeah, you were going to get born, and you were going to be born broken. You were going to be born sinful. You were going to be born separated from God. But is the process, because we're looking at it from human time, in God's view, he sees the end from the beginning, and you always are one of mine. But there's this event that has to happen in this life, and that's for you. So let's look at it and see, and again, this will probably would be something some theologians would disagree with. But if we're going to use the birth metaphor, which God uses, born again, okay? And we use the same word for physical birth, and then he's talking about, no, this is a spiritual birth, which it says there, you know, in the verses that, no, this is things that were born of the flesh are flesh, things that are born of the spirit are spirit. So we know it's a spiritual birth, not a physical one. But let's just look at that. If he's using birth as being recreated, new inside. In physical birth, there's conception. There's the gestation period. There's the actual birth when the baby comes out, which we, you know, call that's the birthday. And then it grows, right? It grows and goes all the way through adulthood until God's done. So if we look at those things, then we'd say, because some people would say, yes, born again is, but it isn't really one specific event on a particular, you can't just say, here's my birthday, like we do physical birth. So do you think you were conceived by God as the new birth? Yeah? What do you think? Well, that's going to be part of what we talk about on the last question. If we get there, I hope. I know we have to have communion today, too. I believe we were conceived by God when he says, I chose you before the foundation of the world. Then I believe there was a gestation period, and everybody's gestation period is a little bit different. If you talk to people about their salvation experience, some people will say, yeah, I mean, I wasn't thinking about Jesus at all. And then I just heard this word and this message and talked to this friend, and bang, yeah, I accepted Christ. It was a one-week thing. And other people say, no, you know, I think back, and I remember this here, and then I remember hearing this message, and then I saw this guy who was, says I was Christian, and he did this, and that really affected me. And you know, maybe it was 20 or 30 or 40 years of that gestation period as Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit were working in the life of that unbeliever to become a child of his, and that's how long it took. But does it really matter? Well, I mean, it kind of matters. You lose out on living your life with the Holy Spirit longer if it took longer. But that is in there. That's part of this birth experience. And then you get to the actual birthday, which then most theologians would say that's the day when you literally, not necessarily publicly, but literally in your own brain said, I've heard this gospel thing. Yeah. Yeah. I believe that. And Jesus, I want to be one of yours. Will you come in and save me? I know you're God, and I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you lived a perfect life, and thank you. And it says right in the Word that you're going to make me new, and you're going to forgive all my sins. Okay, that sounds like a birthday thing, right? So my answer is, I don't know. When did it happen? Only God knows. I'm going to say, when do I know? And I would say, It's the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. At least I know then that but that the whole process needed to happen before I could actually be born again. And so I don't know that there's a really good biblical answer as to when. But what about how? How does it happen? So we look at this in Titus 3:5. He, meaning God, saved us. Does that mean that I got to do part of it? Keep reading, Tim. Not because of works done by you or your righteousness, but according to his, meaning God's, own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I can tell you absolutely for sure. Not a single one of you had anything to do with the birth that you experienced as a baby. Right? Did you have anything to do with that? Your mother and father did. But you didn't. And so did I really have, what did I have to do with this new birth besides I did accept Jesus, but how did that happen? Well, let's look at some more verses. Colossians. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, who he, God the Father, has qualified you, the unbeliever, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He, God the Father, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. How much of that was belonging to you? He says right there, I picked you up over here, transferred you to this one. Earthly, Satan, worldly kingdom, to the kingdom of God. Transfer. Doesn't sound like I had a lot to do with it. The Holy Spirit moves people into new birth. We're going to see that here in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, and that reception, that receiving means something else. It means to lambano, to take in or hold on to. So here was Jesus, and he was shown to me, and I just hung on to him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born. Now listen to this. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. I want to be born again. It's very important. It's the most important thing. How did it actually happen, God? Tell me, so I can share that with other people. Who were born? Not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. I was born. I didn't have anything to do with it. Because I was, now it did say I received him, but why did I receive him? Because my heart and mind was changed by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we saw back there in Titus. The washing and regeneration and renewal. Meaning, my mind was regenerated by the Holy Spirit so that when I heard the message of the gospel, it finally made sense and I could see and understand and reach out for the kingdom of God. And that's what it says. If you aren't born again, you're never going to be able to do. So was I born again before or did I have to wait? Because there was a time before I actually said yes to Jesus that I did see the kingdom of God. I did understand it. I did see that it was out there and waiting for people to receive Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. And so was I born again before that? Or did God say, no, you weren't born again? And, well, it said right here, if I wasn't born again, I'd never even see the kingdom of God. So once again, I'm trying to tell you, I don't really understand this whole birth process. When did it start? When did it end? Which was the most important? But I think it was God's plan from before the foundation of the world that I chose you. Let's just read that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in high places, in heavenly places, and even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And then Ephesians 1:11, in him, God, we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined us according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. When does it happen? Not sure. It's a long process, and I think it includes conception, gestation, and new birth. But how does it happen? Who chooses who? We're going to be looking at that. So after you're born again, let's just say now I'm born, and here I am a baby, and we got some babies here, and we knew that they were born, and we knew they were conceived, and they gestated in their mom there for the nine-month period of time, and out they come. What happens then? Okay, if I'm born again, and Jesus has made me into a new creation, and the old is gone, and the new is here, what happens after that? What should happen as we look at human beings in this world? They grow. They grow. They're learning things. And so is God saying, there is, yes, new birth, but then I'm going to transform you into the image of my son, and that is going to require some effort on your part. I didn't have to provide the effort in order to be born again, but now God is saying, if you really want to be transformed as quickly as possible, you need to get on board. We see that in Romans 8:12 and 13. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of this body, and you will live. And then Romans 12 and 2, which you guys know I always talk about, which is, tells us we have to sacrifice ourselves. So what is God expecting me to do after I'm born? Do we expect babies to do this? Sacrifice themselves? Well, heck no, because then they'd be dead. But what is it that we're trying to die to? Our old self, right? I beseech you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to sacrifice yourself as a living sacrifice, right? Holy and pleasing to God. Then be transformed by the renewal of your mind, no longer doing the things of this world, but say, God, transform my brain, my mind, so that I can be made into the image of Christ. See, that's what we're supposed to do after we're born again. Okay, I'm born again, and I accepted it. I don't exactly understand the timing. I understand what it means, that now I'm a child of God, and I'm into the heavenly kingdom. And then what's expected of me, and God is saying, yes, you are supposed to be learning how to grow. Because when we have our children, and we see that, do sometimes kids kind of get off the path and get a little naughty and do stuff that they shouldn't be doing? And yeah. What about us? Come on, you can admit it. We're not all perfectly walking down the path that Jesus set up for us. So God understands that. He understands, okay, you've been born again. I've been giving you, but you need to do this. You need to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And that's what it tells us there in Romans 3 and in Romans 8. So then we can go back to the last question, which I've talked about already. Who makes it happen? In Ephesians 1, 3 through 5, I've already shown you that before the foundation of the world, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And then we can see back in Colossians, we can see that same thing where it says in verses 12 and 14, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So I know that this particular question that came to my mind when I was thinking about being born again, and I'm looking back and saying, well, I didn't have anything to do with my physical birth. How much did I have to do with my spiritual rebirth? Who is actually making it happen? We saw a little bit of that in Titus where it says, nope, wasn't anything you did, but according to God's mercy, it was by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And then we see here in Ephesians that I was chosen before the foundation of the world, and God predestined us to do that. And then he's saying, I'm working all things together for your good. So I understand that God made the rebirth happen and that I had next to nothing to do with it. The only thing I really have something to do with is how I'm going to live after I'm reborn. So again, that's one of these issues that theologians talk about. You know, who chooses who? Well, it's a 50-50 deal, or, you know, it's 60-40. You know, without every one of them agrees that the Holy Spirit has to be involved to some extent. But some would say, no, we choose God, and God puts the offer out there, and some will look at it and say, no, not interested. But what it tells us in the Bible in Romans chapter 3 is, not one of you would seek after me. And that we're spiritually dead, and that our heart is desperately wicked in Jeremiah. Who can know it? And so it seems pretty clear to me from Scripture that without the Holy Spirit working in the heart and the mind of God's children, none of them would be born again. So that brings us all back to at the beginning in Josh's song and my thoughts about life. And how do I deal with the hardships that I'm supposed to be dealing with? And how do I continue to have joy and peace and satisfaction and fulfillment and purpose when life is so hard? And it's because we need to keep our minds directed on the fact that we have been remade by God and we are born again and nothing could stop it. Now, what am I going to do with it? And that's my challenge to you today. So here would be my conclusion. Do you believe and understand how important it is for humans to be born again? Hopefully you do. Okay, because that is what is supposed to be inspiring us to go out and share this hope that we have. People, I don't care how much money you have. People, I don't care how famous you are, how many people like you, how many people follow you on Instagram. None of that is going to matter. There's only one thing, and it's very, very important, and you must be born again. We need to understand how important that is. Are you sure that you are born again? Because it's not by works, it's not by living a good life, it's not by keeping certain moral standards, it's not by being religious. It's by having your mind and heart changed by God's Holy Spirit. And if that's happened, you can be completely 100% sure that you're born again and where you're going. And are we living by the Spirit instead of the flesh so that we can take full advantage of our new birth right here in this life? So those are the things I'd like you to think about. Do you understand how important it is, and what should that generate in you? Are you sure that you are? Because if you have any doubts about your salvation, you better be looking at this and saying, am I born again? Am I born again? Well, I'm seeing the results of it. And the only way I would see the results of it is if I was born again. So yes, I am. And then am I living by the Spirit so that I'm taking full advantage of the cost, which we're going to talk about here in just a second, of our new birth right here in this life? Think about those things this week, will you?